loving ones. Thy deed is of yore, I'll do as he bids me, whatever the cost. I'll be a true soldier as man at my post. Amen. The theme of this program is Soaring on Eagle's Wings. And the first, after the opening ceremony, the first minister talked to us about the authority of the believer and then the identity of the believer. And the next speaker talked about the power as of old. And the topic that I've been given is serving God in times like this. Serving God in times like this. I want to start by saying that one of the problems man is facing is the problem of identity, crisis identity. Right from the time man was created up to now, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Let him have dominion. Let him rule over the all that have been created." And then God created man. Take note, "Let us make man in our image and in our likeness." If you look at my picture is my image, but it's not my likeness. Likeness means behaving as I behave. The closest thing to my likeness is my shadow. When I move, my shadow moves. When I stop, my shadow stops. So God created man in his own image. God is spirit. We are created spiritual beings. And in his likeness, as God is ruling in the heavens, he gave us dominion over the earth. Praise the Lord. What happened? When in chapter 3, the devil came through the serpent. The Bible says serpent was special creation, was well endowed. I want us to pray and say, "Lord, do not let the gift, the natural talent you have bestowed upon me, do not let the devil use it as a trap for me." Do you understand that? The serpent was not created evil, but they say he was smart, he was cunning, and the devil chose him to use. So, and what did the devil say? He told Anna, "Has God said you should not eat any of these tree?" And he went through Eve. Eve said, "No." Each time I read that place, I just imagine myself in the Garden of Eden. And I imagine myself as the devil. I'm not the devil, though. Praise the Lord. And Eve said, "No." He said, "Of the tree we should not eat or touch." When you quote scripture, quote it exactly. He said, "Or touch." Did God say not touch? He said, "Do not eat." And the moment Eve said, "Don't touch," the devil said, "Got you." And I can imagine the devil was holding, he said, "See, I'm holding it, I'm not dead." And the devil said, "No, God knows that in the day you eat it, you will be like God." That's the point I want to make. When God created Adam, he said, "Let us create man in our image and in our likeness." Adam was already God. And so, the crisis of identity is, the devil came and said, "Adam, God does not want you to be like him. God does not want you to be like him." But God said, "Let us make him like us." That's the beginning. And Adam fell for it. I keep telling us, the devil has nothing to offer you. But whatever he's offering you is what you already have. He has no new thing to give to you. He just capitalizes on your ignorance to make you believe that he's giving you something new. And said, when Eve looked at it, he said, "It's good to make one wise." God has already given them everything that they need to have dominion. And then they ate. And the Bible says, you are the servant, you are the slave of he whom you choose to obey. Rather than obey God, they chose to obey the devil. So they surrendered their dominion to the devil. Praise the Lord. Did the devil stop there? Remember in Adam, he said, God does not want you to be like him. Then when Jesus was born, and God says the spirit led him to the wilderness and was fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And the devil came and said, if you are the son of God, what again is he attacking? His identity. In Genesis, he said, God does not want you to be like him. With Jesus, are you really sure you are the son of God? If you are the son of God, turn this bread and this stone to bread and eat. But thank God, the second Adam did not fail. You will not fail in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You know, in programs like this, oftentimes, you know, traditionally we come, want to pray, fire, this and all those things, so that miracles happen or one thing or the other. But it is much more than that. Kenneth Hagin, in one of his books, said, people say, why is it that people come to crusade? When they pray, they receive miracles. And after that, they enjoy that miracle for some time. And after that, they lose it again. And another crusade, the same person, I want a healing. How many times will God heal you? The reason is that they received their miracle, but they could not keep it. And they could not keep it because they don't know who they are. They don't know what has been given to them. Praise the Lord. God will help us in Jesus' name. Now, the topic is serving God in times like this. How can you serve a God that you do not know, that you do not understand? Amos 3:3 says, shall two walk together except they agree? You want to serve God. God says, go north. You are going east. Then how can you walk? I know some people will say, God knows I'm sincere. And I said, yes. And you can be sincerely wrong. You are sincere in your sincerity, you are wrong. Because even though you are sincere, you are not doing it the way it is meant to be done. Praise the Lord. So, now, you must know who you are in God before you can effectively serve God. If you don't know God, if you don't know who you are in Him, what service are you going to render? God will help us in Jesus' name. And the second point I want to draw attention to is, he said, serving God in times like this. The question is, what time are we in? What time are we in? If you don't know the times, then how can you serve God in an acceptable way? In this 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, chapter 11, verse 32. See, of the sons of Issachar, there were 200, who had understanding of the times and knew what Israel ought to do. Of the sons of Issachar, there were 200 who had understanding of the times and knew what Israel ought to do. And because of this, their understanding, the Bible says they bear rule over their brethren. Praise the Lord. That's what understanding does. It gives you upper hand. It gives you dominion. When you have understanding of the times, then what baffles others will not baffle you. What leaves others stranded will not leave you stranded. Praise the Lord. Now, what is time? You can look at time as the hours, minutes, seconds that tick by. The life you have on earth. time is a non, in that sense, time is a non-renewable resource. If it has passed, it is past. December 7, 2005 can never come around again. It's gone and it's gone forever. If you don't have that understanding, what you were supposed to do December 7, 2005, you didn't do it. Can you do it now? Now people say God is a God of second chance. The truth of the matter is that you are displacing something. What you are supposed to be doing now is a different thing. But what you should have done yesterday, you are now doing it. So it's a non-renewable resource and it is not to be wasted. So if you have opportunity, if you have the time, then make sure. Paul told the, I think the Thessalonians, or is it the Ephesians, said, redeeming the times, for the days are evil. Make the most of every opportunity. So you need to understand the times you are in. And if you don't understand the times, then how can you know what to do? The reason why many of us are failing is that we have knowledge, we gather facts, but we have no understanding. And understanding is what gives rise to wisdom. I keep saying this. Knowledge is facts. 3 + 3 = 4. If you put this corn in the soil, it will grow. Those are facts. Those are realities. But if you understand how do the facts relate to one another, that's understanding. And understanding comes from thinking. As a man thinketh, so he is. If you have understanding, that is what will guide you. And by the time you now apply the knowledge, the facts that you have understood, then you are displaying wisdom. Praise the Lord. Of the sons of Issachar were people who understood the times and knew what Israel ought to do. What times are we in? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Second Timothy chapter 3 from verse 1. Yes? Media, you have not seen it. Oh, anybody who has seen it can read it for us. Oh, okay. He said, but know this, that in the last days perilous times shall or will come. Yes. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Hold on. He said, are we in the last days? So the Bible has warned us, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Dangers will come. And what are the characteristics of those times? Lovers of themselves. Is that what is killing us today? Selfishness. Even as simple as driving on the street. You are driving, there's a slight hold up. You see another person trying to overtake you, pushing and all those things. You can't wait. We are in a hurry. Me, myself, and I. Lovers of themselves. Lovers of money. Why are we complaining about misrule? Why are we talking about corruption? The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. In the end times, people who love money, people are killing for money. They are using their family members, people, their parents, their children for money ritual. Not because they want to have money. It doesn't matter the consequence. Say, whatever it costs, as long as I have money, let them know that, yes, I have arrived. Boasters. There are many times we come and when you maybe interact with people, say, what do you know who I am? And unfortunately, this has even crept into the church among ministers. Bible says, what is it that you have that you have not been given? So if you have been given, what is the basis of your boast? Why do you think you are better than your partner? Is it by your effort? So boasters, those are the things that are happening around. And then when you try to be a Christian, you say, you're too much. God understands. God understands, and yet you want to serve God. So you need to understand the times. You need to understand the danger, the terrain in which you are in. You need to understand this thing. If I do it, will it be right with the will and plan of God? Will God be happy about it? I think it's no longer the youth now, sir. I think it's everybody. I keep saying I pity the youth because every day they are bombarded with all kinds of things. If you watch TV, the things that they show. This is now Facebook. All kinds of things are there. Now AI has even worse in it. But now it's even extending to adults. What are the things that we hold dear? Everyday common things. Our clothing. What do we hold as valuable? Even our dancing, we brought the dancing of the world into the church. So the end times, the dangers of the end times. So we need to understand this. And blasphemers. In fact, sometimes you see these comedians, they say they are doing comedy. They've been joking with spiritual things. Sometimes they'll be quoting scripture in mockery. And then some people will sit down there, among the audience, including Christians, they'll be laughing. Somebody is blaspheming and you are laughing. And you say, it's just a joke. In the spirit realm, there's no joke. The Bible says you are ensnared by the words of your mouth. Remember in Numbers 13:14, when the children of Israel were complaining, they were going to the promised land. They said, this is Moses, you have brought us to die in this wilderness and so on. And in chapter 14, God told Moses, he said, as they have spoken to my hearing, so I will do. That's God Almighty. And who is merciful, who is kind? But because of their stubbornness, he said, okay, since you want to die, so shall it be. Then how much more the devil, who is looking for what to use to trap you? And your words are used as an accusation. Like people who say you're joking, they say, I give you 1 million, they say, who dash monkey banana? You are calling yourself a monkey. And then when monkey things begin to happen to you, you say, who have I offended? You never offend anybody. Now you say you'll be monkey. Praise the Lord. So we need to have understanding of the times. Because the sons of Issachar understood the times they were in, and they had a knowledge of what to do. Praise the Lord. Now, we are not the first set of people to experience this. Habakkuk. Let's open to Habakkuk chapter 2. Okay, maybe take it from the end of chapter 1. Okay, just leave it there. Let me give us the background. In chapter 1, Habakkuk was a prophet of God. And he saw the evil, the terrible things that were happening in society, the wickedness. And the wicked seems to be flourishing. I think David said in one of his psalms, he said, why it seems as if the wicked are flourishing? He said, I almost missed it. Like some people say, what is the point in serving God? I'm serving God, I'm not getting anything. Those who are not serving God, they seem to be having money, they seem to be enjoying, and all those things. So what's the point in serving God? David said, I almost joined them until I went into the sanctuary and I saw their end, that they were walking on slippery ground. So Habakkuk was in a time like this. There was wickedness in the land, oppression and all those things. He said, God, you are a righteous God. Why are you seeing this wickedness going on and you are not doing anything? God, would you allow the wicked to continue to prosper? Would you allow unrighteousness to continue to prevail? And God told Habakkuk, he said, don't worry. I'll bring the Babylonians. They come and deal with this. This is my people. Habakkuk said, how about God? Your people are more righteous than the Babylonians. How can you say people that are more wicked to come and judge the people that are more righteous than they? What am I bringing out here? Our thinking. Habakkuk thought, God, if you are going to bring somebody to joy, it should be people who are righteous. So sometimes when God gives you a privilege to accomplish certain things, don't think you are better than the other person. Did you hear that? He said, my ways are not your ways, neither are my thoughts your thoughts. Habakkuk said that, this one passed me. Verse 2. Said, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. I will stand at my watch. How do you serve God in times like this? You see, let me go back to Genesis. The proving of Adam, where the serpent went and tested him. It's not that God was not, like the Bible says, God does not tempt anybody. But he tests you, he proves you. You cannot be useful to God if God cannot rely on you. Remember when David was to fight Goliath? Saul, so, come and put on this armor. David put on the armor. He said, I have not proved this. Even though the armor looks more formidable, the helmet and everything, he said, I have not proved this. I have not tried this. I don't have confidence in it. But in his sling, catapult, which he has been using in the wilderness, at least I know the answer, the response this one will give me. God cannot use you until he proves you as reliable. Let me tell us, Jesus lived here on earth, not as God. He lived as man. All his life here on earth was as man. He did not exert his power as God. That is why after his baptism, the Bible says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit led him to the wilderness. And after 40 days and 40 nights, he came back in power, in the power of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus just came to show us an example of how God expects the first Adam and the rest of us to live. Dependent, not on our own wisdom, not on our own abilities, but on the wisdom of God. My brother used to say, Professor Josh Ampiton, he said, you can work for God and perish, but you cannot walk with God and perish. Did you get that? You can walk for God and perish, but you cannot walk with God and perish. Praise the Lord. Look at the Bible. People who worked for God. Look at Saul. Saul the king. He worked for God, didn't he? God said, go and destroy the Amalekites. Don't spare anyone, animals, everything. He went. And then he killed the Amalekites, spared the king, gathered the fat cows, and brought them. And then, when Samuel asked him, have you done what God has commanded you? He said, yes, I've gone to destroy the Amalekites. What is this lowing of the bull, of the cows that I'm hearing? Oh, those ones, we brought them to come and sacrifice to the Lord. Did God send you for sacrifice? And Samuel said, has God pleasure in sacrifice than in obedience? He said, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken than the fat of rams. That's how many of us are. We are sent on an assignment. If we cannot do it exactly as God would want us to do it, then it's not acceptable. I told one of my friends, a missionary, anytime when we have vocation or meet someone, he will be telling people, I told him, I said, the day God appoints you to an assignment, that same day, God has a replacement for you. You cannot hold God to ransom. You say, if I'm not there, who are you? It's a privilege for God to call us to service. He's all powerful. He's all able. He can do it. But when he brings you into his program, it's a privilege for you. It's an honor for you. Serving God in times like this. There are so many things that are distracting us. Then the Bible also says, I've told us about personal time. In Ecclesiastes, it said there's a time and season for every activity and purpose on earth. A time to plant, a time to harvest, a time to uproot, a time to build, a time to pull down. Those are seasons. Sometimes some people argue and say those are renewable. Yes, rainy season will always come round. But the rainy season of last year is not the same as the rainy season of today. Nowadays, we are talking of climatic change. When I first came to Jos, during Harmattan, who born you to buy with cold water? As at that time, I remember there were news of in Panshi area, people who froze to death because of cold. But now we are talking of global warming. We are approaching Harmattan season now. Praise the Lord. But there's a time and a season. When people are planting, when you are supposed to plant, you are not planting. And you are looking at another person. Your season is not necessarily the same thing as my season. Do you know your season? I want us to pray. Say, Lord, may I not walk with another person's season? That's why somebody will be doing it. You say, ah, he's doing it, he's doing it, he's doing that. He gets results, but you have no results. Lord, may I not miss my season. Shall we pray? In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Habakkuk, he said, I will go and stand at my watch and wait to see what he will tell me and what I will answer. Some translations say, I will go and stand at my watch and listen to what he will want me to say. Praise the Lord. So, our team, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and shall not faint. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings. The first thing you must do if you want to serve God is to wait on Him. Àwọn tó dúró d'Olúwa. Àwọn tó dúró d'Olúwa. Àwọn tó agbára wọn ṣe o. Àwọn tó agbára wọn ṣe o. Àwọn fi ẹ̀ gòkè bí ìdí. Àwọn sáré kí yóò sì rẹ̀ wá. Àwọn orin ààrẹ kí yóò mú wá. Go on, yes. Personalize it. Emi duro d'Olúwa. Àwọn ó tún agbára mi ṣe o. Mo fi ẹ̀gò kébí ìdí. Mo sáré kí ó sì rẹ̀ mí. Mo rìn àwọn. Amen. Wait if you want to serve God. Some people just go ahead. You think it is good and you do it. But is that God what God wants? If you are to look at the life of Jesus, there were many blind people that he healed. Jesus knows, this is a blind man. I've hit a blind man before. I just carried him a slap into the eyes. And then, blind, come. We are used to doing it. That's one of the trappings of many men of God today. Jesus said, I do nothing except what I see my Father in heaven does. He walks in time, in season, in step with his Father. I say only what I hear my Father say. That is why sometimes, people say, I prophesy. There are two kinds of prophecies. When you declare the word of God, the scripture that is written, you are prophesying. But oftentimes, the other aspect that people say is prophesy. To prophesy as a prophet is to foretell and to foretell. Foretell, you tell what is going to happen. Foretell, tell what is happening now. And there are gifts that need to be operative in your life. You see somebody who is calling to that office, prophesying, and then you also want to prophesy, you declare. Bible says, who is it that declares a thing and comes to pass when the Lord has not so declared? Hear from him. Now, every one of us, every child of God, you are a prophet, you are a priest. That's what the Bible says. You are a royal priesthood. Have you not been so the Bible talk? But the thing is that even as priests, everyone has his duties and his timing. What are those things that can steal your time, that can make you miss your season? One of the things is something that you allow to consistently get in the way of your priorities. Do you even know your purpose? Do you know what God has called you to do? Why are you alive? Why are you in Jos? Why are you in English Assembly? Mo waye lemi na waye. People marry and I marry. People are giving back to children and I'm giving back to children. Is that all there is to it? The psalmist said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. See, no two people are alike. Identical twins are not identical. Why? Because they don't have the same fingerprints. Even science has showed it. Identical twins, their features may look the same, but their fingerprints are different. That is God for you. And when the psalmist says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, you are not mass-produced. If you go to the factory, you have a mold, a shoe mold. And once they've gotten, then they just put it there. The same shoe. No. Every one of us, God paid particular attention. He made you special. And so don't compare your life with another person. Because this person is doing this, I want to do it too. What is it that God has fashioned you to do? What is it that God has called you to do? Praise the Lord. So when you don't get your priorities right, everybody is doing it, it looks good. Even in business, you want to do business. My neighbor has started fish business and he seems to be making it. You go and start fish business. So it's not everything that makes you fail that is witchcraft too. When you are in the wrong place, in the wrong time, when you are doing another person's work and you expect yourself to be prospering. So what are your priorities? When you get too busy, see, sometimes we need to say no to some things. It's not rudeness, it's not hatred. Like people used to say, you are going somewhere and dogs are barking at you. And then every time a dog barks, you carry stone. You will get to your destination quickly, Abby. Those are distractions. When David was being pursued by Absalom, when he was to be overthrown, people were mocking him and all those things. Even one of his officers wanted to say, hey, a whole king, he said, leave him. That's not the important thing now. The same people who were mocking him, when he was coming back, they came to Tuba. So, what are your priorities? What has God called you to do? What are you designed for? So we need to get that right. If you get involved in everything, you just find that you wake up, you say, jack of all trades, master of none. You are here, you are there, you are this, but you have not achieved any tangible thing. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. Amen. So you need to ask yourself, God, what have you called me to do? And the thing is that, I'm like, we are too lazy. When we sincerely ask, when we mean it, God will speak to us. Sometimes we even in small matters, you see, God loves to speak to us. God loves to chat with us. I think I've shared in this church sometimes some years back when I was sitting in Tobaba. I wanted to go and bath. I prepared everything and I was looking for my towel. I looked everywhere and I thought, where is this towel? Then I remembered the story of one man of God that he loves putting sunshade and everything, and when he was going out he was looking for a sunshade. He searched everywhere, couldn't. And then God asked him, why must you continue to grieve me? I said, God, what have I done? What is it? He said, the sunshade you are looking for, have you asked me? He will look along for the sunshade. Okay, God, I'm sorry, where is my sunshade? He said, go to your wardrobe, so jacket, check the left pocket. And he went there and found the sunshade. God is interested in every little bit of you. So when I remember that story, I sat down. I said, God, where is my towel? And then I just had When we don't know when we are not mature, we say, I just had a voice or I just had a thought. Something that just look at your neck. And the towel was hanging around. Praise the Lord. And I searched everywhere for it. That shows how much God interests. If God is interested in little things about us, how much more big things? If that's on right, I say, what unnecessary burden we carry? Unnecessary because we do not take it to the Lord in prayer. Prayer is not when you kneel down. Prayer is conversation with God. You are conversing with God. And when you are holding conversation, I cannot just come to mommy. Mommy, where is this thing? And what have you this thing? I've been looking for it. Where have you placed it? And this thing. And I turn and walk away. Have I conversed with her? I've just made noise. When I say, mommy, where is it? I expect her to reply me. That is why when you pray, after praying, don't just rush away. That's the idea of the quiet time. Quiet time. Listen, you have talked to God. He has heard you. Then what is he saying to you? That's what Habakkuk said. I will stand at my watch and listen what he will say unto me. Praise the Lord. So, maybe tomorrow we'll continue from there. Sometimes, you know, unnecessary interruption. That's why when you want to have your quiet time, one of the best is go to a quiet place where you have no distractions. It's not because you cannot have it in the open, but you don't want interruption. Somebody may be coming. Okay, like the other time, I was going to the convenience area, and I saw mommy sitting down that place. And I said, Ekwelema, this is, you see, only to now notice that she was praying. And so, but my being there was, my Ekwelema was a distraction. So, but the moment I saw that she was praying, so when I was coming back, I didn't even look at her direction. Praise the Lord. So, learn to create time. So, we'll continue from there tomorrow. One, I just want to pray some prayer points before I hand over to our daddy. The first I started is one of the crises is crisis of identity. I want us to pray. Let's stand up. The Bible says in Daniel, they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Paul, see, I want to know him. Paul, that he said, when we talk about people, say, after Jesus Christ, among the apostles, Paul is number one. That's Paul said, I want to know him. If you have not discovered your identity in God, say, Lord, help me to discover who I am in you. And if you know who you are, say, Lord, do not let me lose my identity in you. Shall we talk to God? Pray very well. The devil does not want you to know who you are. He said, the Bible says, as many as receive him, he gives power to be sons of God. In 2 Peter, he said, all that you need for life and godliness has been given unto you through the knowledge of Christ. So you should lack nothing. The devil capitalizes on our ignorance to torment us. Tell God, I refuse to be ignorant again. Deliver me from ignorance. Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
God told the Israelites in the book of Joel, the years that the cankerworm and caterpillars have wasted, I will restore unto you. Lord, restore back unto me all that my ignorance, my carelessness, the enemy has taken away. Lord, in your mercy, restore them back to me. Shall we talk to God? Jesus. All that the enemy has told him, my ignorance, my carelessness, my foolishness, that has allowed me to play into the hands of the devil. Because of your mercy, as you have promised in your word, you say you will restore back. I receive restoration. That is why Jesus came. Adam messed up. But even right there in Genesis 3:15, he said, I will send the seed of the woman. He will crush the serpent's head. And Jesus has come. Let the glory of my life now from henceforth be greater than what it used to be. Because now you are set free from all those things that were limiting you before. All those things that did not allow you to perform. You have been set free from it now because you know the truth. In Jesus' name we are praying.
Amen.
The thing is, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The word of God is not just spoken carelessly. God said, I watch over my word to perform it.
Yes, sir.
When God speaks, Jesus said, what that I speak, heaven and earth will pass away, but an iota of my word will not pass away without being fulfilled. Say, they that wait upon you, Lord, I receive grace to wait. I receive grace to wait upon you. I receive grace to cultivate intimacy with you. Shall we talk to God? In the name of Jesus. I receive grace to wait. All my busyness, all my run up and down have not profited me. And when we read that passage of Habakkuk, God told Habakkuk, okay, now I'm going to show you some things. I'm going to tell you something. Write it down. The vision is for an appointed time. I receive grace to wait. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Pray and tell God, I receive grace to serve you in an acceptable manner. You cannot, you see, anytime you bring your own idea, your own thought, your own way into the business of God, you have spoiled it. It's not acceptable. God's business has to be done in his own way with his own instruments. And at his own time, I receive grace to serve you in an acceptable manner. Shall we talk to God?
In an acceptable manner. In the name of Jesus, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord. I receive grace. I receive grace. I receive grace. I receive grace to serve you in an acceptable manner. I receive grace to serve you in an acceptable manner. Le kapala marabos kandaba. I receive grace to serve you, to be acceptable before you. For in Jesus' mighty name we are prayed.
Amen.
Now we want to pray. Is anybody here to pray? Our daddy made mention of something when he was raising the prayer. And some of us, like, we did not understand that prayer. You know that prayer? Hallelujah. He said, restore unto me what I lost carelessly. Esau lost that thing because of a morsel of a what? Of porridge. Because of porridge. The Bible says he seek for it and it with cry he did not get it. Ah, there are many people that they lost that thing. That I want you back when you come banter. And that is why they remain where they are today. Say, my Lord and my Father, whatever thing I've lost as a result of my carelessness or my indiscipline, restore them by mercy tonight. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Every good thing, Lord, like lost by carelessness and my indiscipline, restore them by mercy. Whatever greatness you have given to me that my carelessness has made it to loss. Hey, Maya Kapala Marabos Kandaba. Lord, restore to me. Restore them to me. Restore them to me by your mercy. Every good gift, the talent, spiritual gift that I've lost as a result of my carelessness, as a result of my sin, as a result of my guided hour, Father, by your mercy, restore them. Restore them. In Jesus' name we are prayed.
Amen.
For in Jesus' name we are prayed.
Amen.
Please pray this prayer well. This same prayer. Many of us, it is our disobedience that made us to lose it. Disobedience. Simple disobedience. Do this and don't do this. And we lost it and it never came again. But I am assuring you tonight, because the mercy of God is available here, whatever the obedience have taken from you, the mercy of God will restore them tonight in the name of Jesus. The next prayer point, the Bible says, please, in the book of Judges chapter 4, chapter 16, verse 4, quickly, are you there? You can read for me if you are there. Judges chapter 16, verse 4. And it came to pass, it happened that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Yes. And the Lord of the Philistines came unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his strength is. This is a contract. Anyone that have received evil contracts over you and your family, they shall fail tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Say, my Lord and my God, who is that fellow that is receiving evil contract over me and my family? I command them to fail. Open your mouth and begin to decree. Anyone that got into evil contract agreement because of me and my family, whosoever you are, wherever you are, I command you to fail. I command you to fail. You shall not succeed. You shall not succeed. You shall not succeed. Whosoever that is signed on my contract to bring me down, to bring my business down, to bring my family down, to bring my marriage down, you shall not succeed in this assignment. You will not succeed. You will not succeed. You will not succeed. Everyone giving the contract for evil over my life, you will not succeed.
Jesus' name we have prayed.
Remember the phrase there. They did not go and bring somebody that Samson did not know. Is anybody getting me? Who did they look for? Somebody close to him. Somebody that he already had a relationship with. Anyone around you that be giving evil contracts to bring you down and they accept it, the Lord will expose them. I said the Lord will expose them. Please pray this prayer. I have some things burning in me. And you don't see somebody, they will bring them. Unfortunately, we don't suspect somebody close. Because I need to summon me, this person is too close to me. Pray and pray. Say every demonically anointed Delilah against my life that is working on a contract. Whosoever you are, I command you to pray. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Every demonically anointed woman, oh man, an evil contractor against my life, against my church, against my family, I command you to fail. I command you to fail. Anyone on contractor against my family, against my business, against my marriage, against my ministry, I command you to fail. 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 Maya Kapala Marabaskandaba. You shall not succeed in this your evil assignment. You shall not succeed. You will not get me. You will not get my children. You will not get my wife. You will not get my wife. You will not get my marriage. You will not succeed over my marriage. In the name of Jesus Christ. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed.
Sorry, I have shared this testimony here before. But because of people that are new here, so that you will know this word. Hallelujah. I say, a man called me, please come and pray. My wife is my enemy. I say, your wife care? He say, yes. They say, now my wife, they do me. Come and do deliverance. I carry my Bible. And they go there, I won't go do deliverance. Deliverance all around me. And the Lord was looking at me. When I got there, the Lord said, there is no deliverance here. What is happening? We talk, we settle so many things. Let me quickly move fast forward. And the Lord told me, it was done in December, like this, December period. And the Lord told me, there is somebody behind their calamity. These are people, they were doing fine before, everything was working fine. He bought Jeep for the wife, bought this, asked car. And now to get 5,000 become a problem. Anyone that is behind this battle over your life, they will not see the new year. And the Lord told me that the person that is behind this problem, that before January 15, the person will be announced dead. And I told them, this is what the Lord said. They shouted, amen. I said, the person that was behind, I will not mention the position of the person, so that you not be suspecting that type of person in your family. Hallelujah. And suddenly, announcement came on the 13th of January. And they said, so person died. The man rushed down. He said, please, somebody die. I said, what? He said, you said something. I said, yes. He said, I don't want to know. He said, but unfortunately, my wife had communication with this person 11 o'clock yesterday till 1 a.m. As at 3, 5 a.m., this person is announced dead. No matter how close they are, anyone that said no way for you to go, anyone that has received evil contract over your family,
They said they will torment your ministry. They said they will torment your marriage. They said they will torment your children. The Lord will bury them tonight in the name of Jesus Christ.
See, this woman went and collected evil contracts. Oh, because of this family. Unfortunately, the man told me when the whole thing opened at the end of the day, he knows how much he gives to this woman almost every month when things were okay. He has, when the house, the woman was living, he was the one doing everything. And that the woman died. They went for the burial. When they went for the burial, they came back. Hey, thank God for Johnny Mercy. And the wife had a dream. The dream you will have tonight that will lead to your breakthrough, the dream will come. Yeah. When the woman had a dream, he said, I had a dream. And I was taken to the grave of that woman. We went for the burial. And when I got to the grave, I saw God himself commanding an angel. And he told the angel, dig that grave. And they dug the grave. He said, bring out the coffin. They broke out the coffin. Oh, yeah, bring out the corpse. It is the same woman that was so close to them. And they brought her out. He said, cut the stomach. And they cut the stomach. By the time they cut the stomach, there were two live goats there. Two live goats, their heads were tied. Their legs were tied. What is happening here? And the Lord commanded the angel, cut the rope, cut the one on the leg. And you know when goats want to rejoice, the way is, and they were jumping, and the woman woke up. When the woman woke up, the goat that they cut the hand, they were male and female. The woman did not just leave them. When she died, she still went with their destiny to the grave. Anyone around you that vow that you will not succeed, the sword of God will be their judgment tonight in the name of Jesus. The story I am telling you is in City of Doors. And at the end of the day, when they woke up, the woman woke up. Hey, what is this? She narrated the story to the husband. The husband ran. Where are you, sir? I said, I'm in my office. He came. He said, this is the dream. I said, congratulations. He said, I thought as much, sir. The following day of the dream, some their neighbor came and knocked the door. Sir, I hear say you do this type of work. He said, yes. I don't know how this way. Take the contract. Another one, the following week, Sokoto. Another one, Samfara. After 2 weeks, this man called me. He said, sir, you need to pray again. I said, what is the prayer? I cannot undo what is coming. There are too many. Please pray. The person that took the contract of their life, if I tell you, we say, ha. Say, every demonically anointed one to frustrate my family, wherever you are, I command you to fail. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Anyone that taking evil contract against me and my family, I command you to fail. I command you to fail tonight. I command you to fail. You shall not succeed in this assignment. Anyone that is an evil contract over my ministry, against my life, to frustrate me, to frustrate my family, to frustrate my children, you shall not succeed. You shall not succeed. I command you to fail. I command you to fail. Maya kapala marabaskandaba. Lemayekapolemayikapolea. Anyone that is behind this issue, whosoever that taking evil contract to frustrate me, to frustrate my effort, to frustrate my activities, I command you to fail tonight. I declare your failure. I announce your failure. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. I can see the Spirit of God on me tonight. Yeah. When I say I mean this, the judgment of God is descending. Amen. Anyone that refuses to let you go, the Lord is cutting them off. Amen. And they called her. He said, just reveal to us wherever his strength lieth, and by what we may prevail against him, that we may bind him and to afflict him, that we give thee, every one of us, 1,100 of shekel. Anyone that receive contract to afflict you, in whatever means they are coming, the fire of God will block them. Hey, let me tell you, I can tell you, hear this voice of the Spirit. Mark this word. Mark this word. There are people that they will not survive the new year for your sake. I must sound negative tonight. Not negative. They're not negative. There are people that they have vowed, Adamida, leave him for me. They don't concentrate on their life again. It is you. You move, they move. They do this, they did that. As unfortunately, the people that want to help you, they attack them. I have a pastor friend that the person that is in charge of his life is somebody so close. When I came in to help him, the woman attacked me, attacked everything. Oh, did the Lord reveal to me? Anyone waiting war against your helper, I command them to be wasted tonight in the name of Jesus. Now let's locate the Philistine. Say, oh Lord my God, whosoever that is sending evil contract against my life, Lord my God, tonight, cut them off, cut them off, cut them off. Open your mouth and begin to decree, as many that are sending evil contract, every principality, every kingdom, send the evil contract. I want the evil contract against my marriage, against my life. Cut them off. Cut them off. Cut them off. Lema yaka palama rabos kandava. Lema yaka polima ribos kandavo. Asmani. That are sending evil assignment, evil messages against me, against my children, against my wife, against my family, against my household. Father, cut them off. Father, terminate them. Terminate them off. Yeah, and declare the judgment upon them tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. For in Jesus' name we are prayed. Leia Kapole Arabos Kandaba. There is nothing the man did that was different. He did not print a new invitation card. He did not print a new community card. He did not make signboard. But the people that could not locate him suddenly begin to remember him.